Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That counts, by the way.
I know.
That counts.
I know. Here's the best part. I turned it on, dropped maybe the best, thank God it's I've dropped yet, and then turned it back off, and then just missed it to turn it back on. That is a hell of a way to lose the week. Hell of a way to lose the week.
We got an hour. I could mess up in an hour. Plenty it's possible.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Rob Brown Show back on the radio. The football fiesta underway for the next 59-ish minutes of radio electricity. Now it is time, because it is Friday, and if it is Friday around the upstate of South Carolina, you know it is Friday Night Lights time. High school football taking place all around the upstate. Week 6 kicks off this evening, and to talk about it, joining us now, as they do every Friday in some combination of talent and good looks, from the Movin' the Chains podcast, which you can find online at Movin', no G, chains.com, movinchains.com. Find them on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Movin' Chains. And, of course, the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, wherever major podcasts are found, because they are major dudes. How about John Epps and Jarrell Hendricks showing up? Fellas, how we doing?
Doing great.
I'd be better if the lighting in my apartment was any better. I mean, it looks like I got strobes going off in the background.
I know.
But we're good.
When the music was going, it was kicking. It was awesome. Like that.
So far,
I'm in your apartment.
So far, Jarrell has joined us from the break room at his office, a hotel room that looked remarkably like a grandmother's basement in the 70s, and now a combination apartment discotheque.
Hey, I do it for the people. Love it. I'm going to be here, you know, no matter what. So
I just want to say, people watching at home, if you see a face or something pop up in there, let us know so Jarrell can get out of there.
Please. Halloween's approaching.
The Movin' the Chains fellas here. Let's get set up for a little high school ball, boys. And Jarrell, we will, as we always do, kick it off with a game that you will hear with the soothing and, dare I say, seductive tones of the voice of the Burns Rebels, Cole Bryson. This evening, the Burns Rebels on the road, Jarrell, at Riverside High School.
Yeah, Burns looking for a big bounce back. They had a letdown last week. Really had a chance against Dorman early in that game. Fought back in that first quarter, and I thought it was going to be a barn burner, but really Dorman just put the vice grips on these guys for the rest of the game. There was a big play by Chu Harris, but that was it for the most part for the Burns offense in the last three quarters of that one. So they got another opportunity this week against Riverside. I think they're going to win this one easily. This Riverside bunch has not been as good as we expected them to be coming into the season, just not able to get it done on defense. So I think this is a real opportunity in a get-right game, especially for quarterback Kane Rogers over there on the Burns side. We know about the playmakers. We talk about them every week in Fuller and Segura. They're going to do great things on offense, going to make big plays in the special teams. But this is a really good spot for get right opportunity to maybe win a region championship. Might have slipped last week with Burns because that Dorman side that we saw was really, really good. And I don't anticipate them dropping much down the stretch here. I want to give a shout out to Justice Hopkins. Got selected to the Shrine Bowl this week. But I think this is a bigger game for Burns than Riverside, and I think Burns should be able to win it by a couple scores.
What is the bounce back strategy for Burns this week? Like, what's the lean after what we saw last week?
I think really the big thing is getting right offensively. It just seems like I've seen them play this year. It just seems like there's just a lack of consistency from this bunch, especially, you know, in the passing game. It seems like they really have to rely on big plays to get things going. Just making sure they have consistency there. I think the defense is pretty good. You know, they give up big plays as well from time to time. We saw that early in the game with Nick Means, a big 80-yard run there. But I think the biggest thing for Burns is really getting that offense more consistent.
Without a doubt. All right, let's kick it to a few more games. John Epps, St. Joseph's, is at Christ Church this evening.
Yeah, this is a very close quarters matchup with two Greenville schools going at it. Both teams have been bumped up to 3A, so the level has been a little bit tougher for them the last 2 years. But both of them have done a very good job of gaining their footing. Really like what Christ Church has done this year. Their only loss was that first game of the year against a private school powerhouse in Hammond. Since then, they've taken care of business, and they beat a really good Hampton County team their last game out. On the other end of the page, St. Joseph's, they're 3-2. They've played pretty well, and their only losses are to a really good Mountain View team and then a much bigger school in Fountain Inn 2 weeks ago. So they're coming off a week rest. This game will be at Christ Church High School. I think Christ Church is a little bit better, but this is a really exciting region game with some rivalry implications too. You know, these schools are, you Greenville folks know, they're right next to one another. This will have a little juice to it. Big time region game for playoff implications too. I like Christ Church. I think they're a little bit better. They're a good football team right now.
I like that. Jarrell Hendricks, take me to Blue Ridge at Seneca.
Man, this Tigers bunch of Blue Ridge has been very impressive this year, especially on offense. They had a huge win over Landrum last week, winning that one 62-28. I cannot be more impressed with quarterback Gavin Forrester for that Blue Ridge bunch. Had 6 touchdowns last week. I think he was the Fan Upstate Player of the Week this past week. So he's getting it done. He's leading them both in passing and rushing. Ja'Cory Dodd for Blue Ridge is a really dynamic playmaker, but really excited to see what they can do tonight against Seneca. Seneca had a huge letdown last week, you know, playing rival Daniel there, a team they hadn't beaten since 2017, really had an opportunity to kind of take charge of the region and let it slip away. They were up 10 points, double digits late in that ball game, ended up losing 27-16. So I think you see what's – it's going to be an interesting matchup because you see Blue Ridge is a program on the rise. Can they get over the hump? And Seneca, also a program that's looking to be upper echelon there, but just cannot slay that Daniel Lyons dragon. So how do they bounce back this week after a crushing defeat? Should be an interesting one. I think Seneca is a little bit better at this point in the season, but I expect a tight ball game here.
Without a doubt. All right, let's move it on down, John Epps, to T.L. Hanna at Hillcrest.
Yeah, this is an interesting game here. You talk about a team that has been living on the edge. That is the T.L. Hanna Yellow Jackets. They were sweating last week, got overtime win against Malden. Week before that, took down a really, really good Greenwood team. So T.L. Hanna, they've got what it takes to win some big games. Hillcrest, they fell to that same Greenwood team last week in a game where they just wouldn't go away. Greenwood was looked like the better team the entire night, but Hillcrest kept fighting. Good quarterback in Jackson Free. He's only an 11th grader. He's got a good arm, pretty smart player back there, and good defensive line for Hillcrest. I think that's going to be a big thing to watch in this game. T.L. Hanna, big on the line of scrimmage. They like to run the ball. This will be a really good matchup over at Chandler Stadium in Simpsonville. Usually decides the region. With as good as Greenville is this year, I don't know if that's going to be the case, but certainly, again, another big game for playoff implications. I like Hillcrest in this game. I think they find a way to win this one. They've got to just make sure they don't allow the big plays from T.L. Hanna like they did last week against Greenwood. I think this will be a great ball game. Should be really close. I'm leaning Hillcrest on this one, though.
Let's talk about a few more going on. Let's go to Liberty at Clinton with a T in
Clinton.
It.
Clinton. It is Clinton, the Battle of the Red Devils here. Liberty, a sneaky good team, but I think Clinton's going to be a little bit too much. This is a game, though, that I picked potential upset spot. I think this Liberty team is that much improved. I do like Clennon to win it, though, but it should be a fantastic football game. Clennon's starting to hit their stride. They always do because they play a gauntlet in the non-region. But I like the Red Devils in this one.
The Red Devils.
Overemphasized and defiant in not using the T.
Oh, he's standing on business with that one. You can hear it. He's standing on business with the T in Clinton. Or lack thereof, I guess. Hey, let's go.
That's how they do it there.
I mean, listen, they can say whatever they want. There's a T. I can read it. It's right here in the name. You sent it in the email. It says T right there. Gaffney's at Eastside, boys.
Tell you, this is the Eastside team that's playing some pretty good football right now. Gaffney, on the other hand, they had some controversy, not necessarily controversy, but couldn't decide who they wanted to play at quarterback. That has been decided now. They've got one quarterback that his Javon Gilmore has decided to lead the program. Bouton's now the quarterback. If I'm saying that right, Bouton. He's a good player as well. I think it's actually settled this Gaffney program down just a little bit. This should be a good game, but Gaffney, not the start they wanted this year, but they're undefeated in region play. I think they keep it undefeated tonight. I think it'll be a good game. We'll learn a lot about Eastside in this game as well. But I like the Indians to keep that undefeated ledger alive in region play.
All right, let's get to Dorman at Boiling Springs.
Man, couldn't be more impressed. We talked about them earlier. They had a huge win last week against Burns. Coach Morris's bunch, I think this is year three for him. He's really got these guys playing both well on both sides of the ball and also getting it done in special teams. Boiling Springs is just a solid program. But I think this Cavs bunch continues to roll in this ball game, and it's really going to set up for a big-time showdown later in the year with Gaffney.
I like it. We'll wrap it up, boys, with Greenwood at Malden.
I'll tell you what, if you are a Gamecock fan, check out this Greenwood team because Tristan Lewis, that guy is awesome. He's a great quarterback, pretty good punter of the football as well. He does a little bit of everything for the Eagles. They are also playing a lot of close games lately, and Malden has been showing a lot of fight. Malden is a team that good teams like Greenwood will circle in the schedule and say, hey, here's a team where we can let all the kids play. Not the case this year. The Mavericks have got some fight in them. I think this could be potentially a pretty close game. But I look at the best player on the football field, and that's Lewis with Greenwood. I think Greenwood takes care of business tonight. I expect them to win by 10 or more, but should be a pretty fun game over in Malden.
John Epps, do your Clemson Tigers get it right against the North Carolina Tar Heels this weekend?
I don't know if we're going to get it right this year, brother. I think... We are all out of sorts, but I like us to get a win Saturday up in Chapel Hill. I think we're not very good. They're worse.
We have gone back and forth, and so I will ask you the question that we have asked our listeners this lovely morning. John Epps, what's this show sound like Monday if North Carolina does steal a dub?
I think we got to talk about some personnel changes on the staff.
How high of a level of personnel changes?
I think potentially at a coordinator level.
Okay.
Depending on how the offense looks. If you go to Chapel Hill and you get beat 24-3, that's a tough look, you know? But I think that's a stretch, but I think it's more so at the position level. I think that's where we've got a gap that we need to close. Hopefully it's in the off season. It's always tough to get the band hammer in the middle of the season. That doesn't help anybody very well. But I think Clemson does win this game. I still trust Dabo. I think we'll see some fight out of this team at some point in time during the year. We all hoped it was last week. It was not, or 2 weeks ago rather. Was not the Syracuse game. But still have some faith. We'll see what happens Saturday.
Hey, Jarrell Hendricks, congrats on that big Dallas tie last weekend, buddy. That was good.
Hey, what a game that was. Highest scoring tie in NFL history. I mean, hey, worked for me, fantasy. I was down big. I had George Pickens come through for me in the clutch right there, squeaked out a win. So I love the extra time. Love to see GP get off there.
Like to hear it. Boys, thanks for pulling up. Glad to have you. Tell Kevin to actually do some work one day.
Maybe next week. We'll see him.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe next week.
Maybe. Jarrell, go change your light bulb.
I don't know what's going on. I'll see you guys from a different location next week.
Probably at this point. It's just the tour de force. John Epps, Jarrell Hendricks. You can find them, again, the Moving the Chains podcast at Moving, no G, movingchains.com. Same name across the social media and wherever major podcasts are found. When we come back, Sirius XM College Football Overtime host Denton Day joins us here on the show. We'll get his thoughts on the college football week coming up. I mean, we'll see if he agrees with John that personnel changes might be necessary, depending on what happens with the Tigers. Denton Day next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show, back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate, Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and now joining us in his all-new time slot. Kind enough, because A, Fridays are way more exciting to talk about college football than Wednesdays are, and B, he's busy on Wednesdays. Ladies and gentlemen, the host of SiriusXM's College Football Overtime and a host and producer on the BetMGM Network, the legendary, the iconic, Denton Day, joining us back on the program. Sup, dude?
What's up, my mustached friend? I'm glad you're keeping it around. You kept it a lot longer than I did. Not that I convinced you to shave in the mustache, but I will take at least like 2% credit for the mustache. So I'm proud that you're keeping it as long as
you
have.
You were absolutely like an Instagram level influencer when you showed up that day. I was like, you know what? I was already thinking about it, YOLO. And then when I went down to the mustache, I'm like, well, if I don't at least test drive it, Denton Day is going to be very upset. So
all right,
you look great.
I have to ask a question real quick. That's not a Michigan hat, right? That looks like a Majin hat. Tell me.
Yeah, this is a Majin hat.
Okay. I'm okay with a Majin hat. And if you don't know what that is, well,
you're not a big enough nerd for a long time.
You should be more cultured.
It matches the Majin Vegeta.
Yeah, tattoo, yeah. Okay, so. I was just making sure because if it was a Michigan hat, I would have to avert my eyes.
Ladies and gentlemen, the nerds are taking over the world, whether you like it or not.
That's true.
What do you mean taking over? It's already done.
That's fair. Hey, Denton Day, what does my show sound like Monday if North Carolina beats Clemson?
Oh God. It'd be a lot of fun for you.
For me.
I don't know if it'd be fun for Clemson fans, but it would be a lot of fun for you. I would assume there would be a lot of puns, a lot of metaphors about Bill Belichick and Jordan Hudson. Probably a lot of memes on social media. Are you a Reddit guy? If you use Reddit, you'd probably have a lot of Jordan Hudson memes on Reddit. I don't think you'll have to cross that bridge. But it would that might be a Hall of Fame level show for Rob Brown if Clemson loses to North Carolina.
So then let me ask you the next question. Can Clemson lose to North Carolina?
No, they can't. North Carolina's quarterback situation is awful. Yeah, Bill Belichick should have known better. He is still searching for a guy. He didn't have a guy after Tom Brady left in the NFL. Had one for a little bit and then decided to hire his best friend who didn't coach offense to coach offense and completely squandered Mac Jones. He looked good last night. He just hasn't been good with the quarterback situation in all levels of football since losing Tom Brady, and this is no different. They went with a guy that they tried to pull up, and they should have went with Brad Johnson's kid, but is Brad Johnson's kid really all that good? Because he's like school number six for him, it feels like, at this point. I mean, he's UNC's Perry Ellis the way that he's been in college for forever, so they just haven't gotten the quarterback situation right.
I think it is. Abundantly fair. My prediction was this Belichick hire is going to end in abject failure, disaster, and potential hilarity when it's all said and done, and we're well down that path. Denton Day from College Football Sirius XM, College Football Overtime on Sirius XM, join us here on the show. They are on the bye this week, Denton Day, but South Carolina back-to-back L's against Vandy and Mizzou, but then they do get the win over Kentucky, and I do think this is Mark Stoops' worst team since he's been at Kentucky. Yeah. So it's kind of one of those spots where I want to go, all right, it's a good win. I probably wouldn't blow it out of proportion like you won the SEC, but on the flip side, sometimes these get-right games, as it will be for Clemson, are important. South Carolina took advantage of theirs. What do they need to do, dial in on, focus in on the bye week to give themselves a chance to go to the Baton Rouge Death Valley and beat LSU and rejuvenate the good vibes, bro?
I would just, if you want to beat LSU, it's very clear, Rob, get after the quarterback. And it's not very difficult either. Like, if you remember watching that Ole Miss game last week, in the second half, they were getting pressure with three guys. They were winning a 3-on-5 matchup on the offensive line, defensive line. So if you could just really hone in on your pass rush, you're going to be able to get to Garrett Nussmeier. They can't run the football. And if you can get to the quarterback and they can't run the football, you're going to be in a really, really good place. So they got to hone in on the pass rush. It's going to be tough to score on LSU. Even Ole Miss, I think, is a really good offensive team. Couldn't put up a ton of points against LSU. So you're going to have to capitalize off of your opportunities, not turn the football over, not get into silly penalties. But really, if you want to beat LSU, if you're looking just at LSU, just get after the passer and you're going to be in a really good spot.
So where are you? My take was this team needs to utilize Lenora Sellers more as the overall weapon that he is. This is a team that in those two losses, it almost looked like they were trying to turn him into a pocket passing quarterback. And that's just dumb. Not just because he has the ability to get outside, but because that's just not what he is. It feels to me like if this team starts to utilize him as the weapon that he is on the move, like they did against Kentucky, they can be the team we thought they were because they didn't do it in those two losses.
Yeah, I don't know why that is. I don't know if that was a decision that was made this offseason to, help him get NFL ready, but I don't even think just being a pocket passer is NFL ready anymore. Like, you have to be good with your legs. You got to be a threat to the defense. And particularly for the LSU game, what was the one thing that Trinidad Chambliss could do that no other quarterback who LSU would play? I mean, Kate Klubnik could, but didn't. He could run. And when you put an extra element of stress on that LSU defense, a defense that looked really good through the first 4 weeks looked a lot more human against Ole Miss. And, Lenore Sellers has the same capability of doing some of the things that Trinidad Chambliss did to LSU when they square off. So I'm with you. You have to utilize his legs. It's not a bad thing that your quarterback can move. I don't understand why sometimes coaches are fearful of it. If your quarterback can move, utilize that. It's going to help you win football games.
Completely agreed. Real quick, and then I want to turn and talk about some of the games this weekend. The commissioner of the athletic conference said in an interview yesterday that we either need to do away with or we need to modernize the way that we do preseason selections in the new era of college football, because you're asking the media, his words, not mine, to effectively gamble with their picks on a bunch of teams that we don't have enough information to accurately put them in an order. And obviously the order we put them in week one will impact where they are in 2 and 3 and 4, and therefore all the way to the playoff rankings. I understand we've had this conversation that preseason rankings are put in place because it makes those week one games like Clemson LSU look a hell of a lot sexier to the TV ratings. Where do you fall on that after seeing some of the interesting rankings we've seen based on the week one rankings?
So preseason rankings, I've always taken with a grain of salt. I do think there's a point in that they drastically impact the way that we view certain teams from the jump, which sometimes is unfair to certain teams. Sometimes it's really fair to other teams. My question is, what is the better option? And how many teams over the course of an entire season really have been getting screwed, especially now with the 12-team playoff, which has only been 1 year, but how many teams are really getting screwed because they weren't ranked super high at the beginning of the season? I don't think that number is very many. I think there are some teams that get the benefit of the doubt, and I think all of them play in the SEC for the most part. But I don't know how many teams have really gotten screwed because they were ranked 24th when maybe they should have been like 18th to start the season. And that just drastically, look, if you're going to win football games, you're going to end up climbing the rankings. It really is pretty simple. So unless they had a better option, a better solution, I don't know how you fix it. It's never going to be perfect, but I've never asked college football for perfection. I've just asked it for entertainment, and it usually comes through with that.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I would like to ask you, Denton Day, after they go on the road to Happy Valley, knock off the Penn State Nittany Lions in the whiteout game, was that game more Oregon with Dante Moore is a championship caliber team that maybe we slept on a bit and Dan Lanning's a dog, or was that more James Franklin loses another big important game?
It was much more Oregon, because we didn't know. That was the question mark. Entering that game, we knew what James Franklin was. We knew what Drew Aller was. You hoped that maybe there would be some sort of change if you were a fan of Penn State, but you already knew what those two in particular were. I had no idea what Dante Moore was against legitimate competition in a really tough place to play, and he completely showed out. And, you know, Dan Lanning has long been one of my favorite coaches. Rob, I think I've told you the story before. If I haven't, I met him when I went to cover the bowl game a couple years ago with Oregon against Liberty. I got paid to be out there. Shout out to SiriusXM. But I wanted to go see my alma mater play in a New Year's Six game because I went to Liberty, and I left that weekend falling more in love with Dan Lanning than I did my own head coach. I love Jamie Chadwell. That's not a knock on him. But I talked to Dan Lanning, and I was like, this is like the perfect college football coach. I would run through a wall for this guy. So he's been long one of my favorite coaches. It's just nice to start seeing him stacking wins in really tough environments, because there was a little bit of a feeling after, not last year, but remember 2 years ago when they had Bo Nix and they were big favorites, not once, but twice against Washington. Well, small favorites the first time, they were 3.5-point favorites the first game. And then they were like 9.5, 8.5, 9.5-point favorites in the Pac-12 championship game in the rematch. And they lost both of those games. So the question was, can you win big games? I'm glad that he has proven that he can. And Dante Moore looks the part, man. And that's something that needs to be celebrated in this game. He could have transferred out of Oregon. He decided, I want to sit there. Like, I transferred into Oregon knowing that I'm going to sit behind Dylan Gabriel for a year so I can get better. And then he's gotten better. And now he's at least right now, he's top of the Heisman leaderboard at most gambling book and most sports books. So I was really, really impressed with the Oregon side of things. The James Franklin stuff is just stuff we already knew.
I think it's fair. Let's talk about Alabama. The loss to Florida State. I can't tell if that was the kick in the nads that Bama needed to get it in gear, or if Bama bought the hype and just underestimated a Florida State team. Yes, they lost to Virginia. That's a pretty good squad under Tony Elliott. We'll get to that here in just a minute. But maybe underestimated Florida State. I don't know what it was, but them going on the road to beat Georgia, even if Bama has owned Georgia over the past handful of years, felt like a big win. And as much as I am a Diego Pavia guy, and Clark Lee is, and I mean it, my favorite coach in college football right now, I think poor Vanderbilt's going to feel more like 2015 Vandy than 2024 Vandy this weekend.
I have loved everyone being like, well, Vanderbilt beat him last year, so we're going to jump on this 10.5. And then, you know, Rob, I've been talking to people that are a little bit more in the know with how sportsbooks operates, and they have all kind of suggested that this number is low, that this number is going to be more by kickoff in the direction of 12.5 or potentially 13.5, because the people with the deep pockets are going to slam Alabama within the next 24 hours. I'm all on Alabama in this one. This is a completely different philosophy, I think, for Kalen DeBoer. Last year, he got caught up in the fact that, hey, that's a Vanderbilt on the other side. They've never been good. They're not going to beat us. We're Alabama. That does not exist anymore. They've taken some punches. Kalen DeBoer has. Alabama has. I think he's been very, very upset about that now for a year. And I think Vanderbilt is going to feel the wrath of the pain that they caused Kalen DeBoer last year. So I'm big on Alabama, and I would just encourage all of your audience to jump on that now before that number grows to potentially two touchdowns.
Whatever else happened last year, that was the game that kind of started Bama fans asking, did we get the wrong guy in here? And I do think that there is some level of retribution because, again, Bama looks like they have hit a different gear at this point. So I agree. It would not shock me to see that take off. Let's talk about the other side of that equation, and that's those Georgia Bulldogs who lost at home to Bama. That's not new. Like, Alabama's been taking it to Georgia the past few years. This was my pick to win the Southeastern Conference, and I hung it on what is Gunnar Stockton going to be. Like, Ty Simpson's been a revelation. Gunnar Stockton hasn't really broken out that much, but he hasn't been bad. Where are you putting Georgia in the national mix right now?
So they're a playoff team, certainly. I don't know that they'll be in the SEC championship game right now. I mean, Ole Miss is going to be a tough out, man. That's a really good football team. And I think if Oklahoma can survive a couple games against good opponents without John Mateer, that they could be in the SEC championship game. So I think Georgia's a playoff team, but I'm with you. The Gunnar Stockton question mark is a very big question mark. And they've had question marks before at quarterback, but like that question mark was Stetson Bennett. And Stetson Bennett is in a different class than Gunnar Stockton is right now. I think the painful thing for Georgia fans is that in that game against Tennessee, he looked really good at times. And you're like, yes, if we can capture this for an entire game against a great opponent, you're set. You're going to be good. You're going to be in the SEC championship game. Maybe you're a legitimate national championship contender. They haven't gotten that yet. I'm not saying that he can't get there, but I don't have a lot of faith in him getting there by the end of the season. I think he needs a lot more time. So they're going to make the playoffs because they're Georgia, and they're going to get the paycheck for making the playoffs. But I cannot imagine that they're going to get a playoff win unless they just, by some stroke of divine intervention, get matched up with whoever is representing the group of five.
I think that is, I think it's a fair take. Since we're kind of hanging around the SEC, and since you brought it up, last week was Lane Kiffin week across America. We had a 30 yeah. for 30 start to trickle out. We had him getting the ultimate revenge on the LSU player who decided to announce he's dating Lane's daughter by making him puke on the field and lose. I love Trinidad Chambliss. He's fun. He is two games in, a better Lenora Sellers than Lenora Sellers has been mm-hmm. so far this season. But does that elevate Ole Miss to SEC title contender?
So right now, yes, it does, because Chambliss is playing with house money. He's a D2 guy that now just beat LSU. Yeah, that's the craziest story, I think, right now in college football. But he's also very patient with the offense. And really, Rob, my biggest takeaway from the Georgia game was, or the LSU game rather, was that Lane Kiffin was not the typical Lane Kiffin in big games. He was not rushing to go for every single fourth down. He wasn't always trying to go for 2-point convert. Like he didn't necessarily fall into this uber analytical nerd that he kind of did when he faced Nick Saban in years past, where it felt like he had to do something crazy because he just had to. He had to beat Nick Saban. He was calm. He was poised. I mean, Lane Kiffin, dare I say, was mature on the sideline. We haven't seen a lot of that. I think when you combine Lane Kiffin being mature, when you combine the fact that they have found this diamond in the rough in Trinidad Chambliss as their quarterback, who I believe should be the starter the rest of the way for Ole Miss, and then defensively, they were getting pressure on LSU with three. If you can get, like, your goal as a defensive coach, can we get pressure with four? They got pressure with three. That's unheard of in college football, specifically against another SEC team. Like, you get pressure with three against Kent State, sure, whatever. But doing it against LSU is a completely different thing. I think this is the most well-rounded team that Lane Kiffin has had at Ole Miss, and I firmly believe that they're a championship contender.
Fair enough. I like that. All right, last one. With Denton Day, host of College Football Overtime on SiriusXM, host and producer on the BetMGM Network as well. Florida State, Miami. Like I said, I don't think the FSU loss to Virginia was as bad as people are making it out to be, because Tony Elliott's got a squad, at least offensively, mm-hmm. they put together. On the flip side, it's not a great loss for a team that was inside the top 10 to take. On the other side, you got Miami. Miami beats Notre Dame. Notre Dame turns around and loses the next week again to Texas A&M. Texas A&M top 10 team. So, like, the wheel of spins around these two teams. This one, a nighttime game at 7:30. It is one of the greatest rivalries in college football, though it's never really mentioned in that group. I've been there. I've covered this game many times. It is Miami, Florida State. Hard to break down in football because these two teams just try to beat the hell out of each other when they play. What are you seeing out of this game? And what does it mean to Miami to lose this game? What does it mean to Florida State coming off the L to Virginia to win this game if they can get it done?
Florida State winning this keeps their destiny in their control. If they lose in a year of our Lord 2025, Rob, where the ACC is firmly back, their destiny is now completely out of their control, and they need a bunch of teams to lose if they want to get to the ACC championship game and then ultimately the college football playoff. Was what happened against Alabama just a really good game, or was that a shift in what you are as a program? And that's kind of what's going to be decided this weekend. If they lose, it was just a really good game. It was fun. Your quarterback talked some trash, backed it up. Cool. Highlight of the season. Awesome. Your quarterback's not going to be here next year. But, and not that I think he's going to be here next year anyway, but if you beat Miami, you can kind of negate the UVA loss. You want them obviously to beat Louisville so that continues to make that program look better. UVA, by the way, 6.5 point road dogs, which I think is something to you know, pay attention to. But they need this win. If they don't have this win, they're now behind Miami, obviously, because that's a head-to-head loss. Then you're behind UVA. That's a head-to-head loss. And then also Georgia Tech in the ACC, along with a litany of other teams. So if you get two losses back-to-back inside your conference, and it's not even Halloween yet, you put yourself in a really, really bad spot. So they need this win.
Denton Day hosts College Football Overtime on Sirius XM. Make sure you tune in and hear that. Are you on the air this Saturday night for College Football Overtime, Denton?
We are on the air on Saturday. We are also on the air tonight following WVU and BYU. So your boy is going to take a nap in a couple hours so he can stay up to 2 a.m.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Love it. Make sure you check out Denton Day and, of course, across the BetMGM network. My man, we got a hell of a weekend of football lined up. Enjoy it, brother. We'll talk to you next week.
Always appreciate it, fellas.
You're the best. Denton Day. Follow him on X at The Denton Day, because smart people put the out front of their name, is what I tell myself. Hey, we got to run to a break. When we come back, Lonzo and I take a look at the NFL schedule and make our predictions for the weekend. That's next on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you to our litany of guests who have strolled up. We had Hayton S. Mario of ESPN Chicago, Mario Heron, talk a little North Carolina Clemson from the baby blue perspective. We had Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast pull by and talk some Carolina football with us. We didn't even get to the game this weekend because we had to talk about everything wrong in the franchise, and that took all of the time. We had John and Jarrell from the Move the Chains pod set us up for our high school football weekend. And, of course, we had the iconic Denton Day from Sirius XM's College Football Overtime join
tired?
Us in that last segment.
You tired?
No, I'm actually feeling good now.
That was like being on Media Row or something.
Yeah. I feel like a talk show host. You know, we talked. Did a lot of talking.
I was like, that must be what a car wash is like.
It was. It felt good, man. It felt good. We talked a lot of football, but my dudes and dudettes, we have talked I think personally, disappointing lack of National Football League football today outside of Carolina. So why don't we take a look at the schedule upcoming for the weekend and make some picks? We'll start in jolly old London, England at 9:30 a.m. when the Minnesota Vikings, led by Carson Wentz, take on the Cleveland Browns, led by rookie Dylan Gabriel, getting his first start for the Viking or for the Browns this weekend. This game is set right now at Minnesota -3.5. I am very confused about the Minnesota Vikings, to be honest, but very confused about the Minnesota Vikings. Not confused enough to pick them over Dylan Gabriel yet. Give me the Vikings to cover, Lonzo.
All right, I'm going Cleveland, and just because I think a lot of people are going to try to prove that they can catch the ball when they actually get the ball.
It is important.
If Dylan Gabriel does this thing where he throws it to his own team,
old Joey F-Bomb was doing?
Yeah, what he was doing. If you do that and you play good defense, which I believe that they will play, I'm going Cleveland.
Solid pick. Don't hate it.
I think that defense steps it up and shows out for an international crowd.
These fields also, when they play on these soccer pitches, as they are at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, these soccer pitches are like, I don't know, I guess the right word is thick. They're like thicker grass than the grass on most of the NFL stadiums, or certainly than turf. So that usually helps defenses out. Cleveland's might be better. We'll find out. The Raiders are on the road at Indianapolis. That one at 1 o'clock. 6.5-point favorites go the Colts. I got to tell you, on Monday, I got to ask the question, hey, Rob Brown, is Danny Dimes, and not comeback player, not most improved, is he an MVP candidate? And the answer is, hey, he's not going to win it. But I have to say, through this point in the season, I have to say candidate. On the flip side, while the Raiders did have Ashton Janti show up and look like the guy that they drafted out of the backfield last weekend, I just don't think they're a good football team. I think a lot of people blew him out of proportion because of Pete Carroll, Ashton Janti, and I don't know. I know he's got a track record of success to some degree, but I did not understand how people think that it was going to be Geno Smith that carried this team to like heightened levels of success. Give me the Colts at the crib to cover 6.5.
Yeah, me too. If, as I recall, they suffered their first loss last week. Talking about Indianapolis, I believe.
The score of their game last week, I am blanking off the top of my head. Yes, they did. They lost at the Rams.
And it was a close game.
Yes, it was. 27-20, one score game.
So I think they bounce back and get a victory here.
I'm good with that one. The New York football Giants at the New Orleans football Saints. Hilariously, the Saints -1.5 at the crib, meaning they think the Giants are 1.5 better with Jackson start under center for the G-Men.
Scadaboo.
Scadaboo is... somebody described him yesterday as a crayon eater. And
wow, that is an apt description.
And it feels mean, but then you watch him play and you're like, oh, I get it. The Giants actually released a very funny social media video yesterday where they asked the members of the team to do their best Cam Scadaboo impression. And most of them were doing the thing that if you have picked up, like his favorite thing is to sneak up on a camera. Like they'll be talking to somebody and his head will just pop up into the frame or pop over to the side. And he just goes, into the camera real loud, like sticks the tongue out and screams and shakes his head around. So they
Bron Breakerish?
Very Bron Breakerish. So they asked all the players on the Giants to do their best Scadaboo impression. And some of the guys did like the backflip in Hawaii surfing thing he does. And some of the guys, one of the dudes turned around, pointed his body at a teammate, and then ducked his head and just speared his teammate. Was like, that's my best Scadaboo impression. A lot of guys did the yell thing. Well, the end of the video, they go over to Cam Scadaboo and they're like, hey, here's how the players respond. How do you feel? And he walks up to the camera and he's like, actually, I have to tell you, like, this kind of hurts my feelings a little bit. Like, I didn't know everybody was going to be mean. I'm just kidding. Ah! Like, he's a crayon eater and I'm absolutely here for it.
He and Jackson Dart, are throwing videos out there together and stuff. I get it. They came in as rookies and all that kind of stuff. But I think there's chemistry there between those two guys.
There absolutely is. And, you know what their name is on social media right now? The Creatine Creatures. It's okay. My favorite thing.
All right.
Or the Creatine Caucasians, which is even funnier. I got a tough time with this one because the Saints statistically are playing better at home. Spencer Rattler said his only multi-touchdown. The kid's due for a dub. I am, if you've listened to this show, you know, perfectly willing to pick against my team. I got a vibe Spencer Rattler's dub comes this weekend. Give me the Saints at the crib.
Yeah, I'm going Giants.
That's fair. Kim Scadaboo and Jax. Like, it was a great start, but like, does the emotion wear off for Jackson Dart? I feel like it does.
We'll find out.
We will find out. All right, let's roll through some more. Dallas at the New York football Jets. The Cowboys favored by 2.5 on the road, Lonzo.
Yeah, Dallas. I'm not elaborating because we're pressed for time. So I'm going down. And plus, what can you really say? I mean,
maybe they'll tie.
No, let's not do that.
Denver's at Philly. Give me the Birds to cover 3.5. They can do a fake tush push now. You're all in trouble.
I know James on the stream worried about Denver. Don't be worried about Denver. Philly beats Denver.
I mean, Denver looked better last week. Not good, just better. Which at this point, maybe that's what you're gunning for. Maybe better is what you're gunning for. Miami at the Carolina Panthers. This one at BOA in Charlotte, North Carolina. The Finns, however, yes, the Finns favored by 1.5. The Finns. Without Tyreek Hill, the Finns are favored.
Right, I can't do it. You know, I cannot believe that last week is what the Panthers are. I'm going to believe it's somewhere in between these last 2 weeks, that there's a mid in there and that they're that. And that mid is enough to beat Miami. I'm going to go with Panthers.
Good with that. I am good with that, and I'm going to follow it up. Unless there's like a win one for the Gipper mentality out of Miami for Tyreek, which I don't think there is. They don't like him. Houston's in Baltimore. The Texans minus 2.5 on the road at Baltimore. Yeah, that's a real thing, by the way.
Lamar's hamstring is still acting up, supposedly. So, wow, this is hard.
I know.
This one's very difficult, but why not? I'm going to go Houston.
You know what? I'm going to go with the Ravens because I'll tell you, yeah, they got the win, but that's a real bad Tennessee team. I just don't think the Texans are that good. Give me the Ravens with a backup quarterback, and I don't even know who the backup quarterback is right now.
Who is it?
Tennessee's at Arizona. The Cardinals minus 7.5 at the crib. Give me the Arizona. Tennessee's, unfortunately. You know what? I'm going to describe it the way Cam Ward did. If we keep it at a buck, they ass.
Yeah, I'm gonna also go with Arizona.
That's rough. That's rough. What a rough spot to be in if you were the Tennessee Titans right now. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers on the road at Seattle. Seattle minus 3.5. They're not dropping two in a row. Give me the Bucs on the road over the Seahawks.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, for sure. Tampa Bay bounces back.
Yeah, I still don't. I know they're good, and I know they got a decent record. I just don't believe in Seattle at this point. Let's go with Detroit at Cincinnati. Detroit favored by 10.5. They might win that game by 40.
Yeah, maybe 50.
Yeah, that's going to be not great for the Joe Burrow-less Bengals. Washington at L.A., I believe. Jaden Daniels is back. L.A. is minus 2.5 at home, though.
Which L.A. are we talking about?
That would be the Rams. The Chargers. The one that's actually pretty good.
Okay, I'm going to go with Chargers.
I'm not. If Jaden Daniels is back, I'm going to go right back to picking the Commanders every time Jaden Daniels plays. Give me the upset money line win. And finally, the night game, New England at Buffalo. I'm asking for the cover, Buffalo minus 7.5.
Yeah, Buffalo wins.
Yeah, do they cover 7.5?
They double it.
I'm going to say yes. I'm going to agree. The offense, although my Saints, I was actually pretty proud of the fight they put up against the Bills on the road last week. The Buffalo Bills offense sucked last week. I don't see the Buffalo Bills offense sucking 2 weeks in a row. They are going to. I like the Patriots. They're going to hammer them.
All right, time for a short
speed run.
We don't need all that. We got a little extra time. We're good. Let us go. The first thing that is Xing is Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift Xing because Life of a Showgirl releases today her new album. I learned this last night. I didn't know this was a thing. Apparently, there are movie theaters, and I don't know how this works, that are throwing T-Swizzle parties for the Swifties to show up and listen to the album in its entirety. Now, I don't know if they have, like, the music videos for every song
I doubt that's happening here, maybe.
No. I know for a fact it is.
Oh,
because
okay.
One of the gentlemen that we work with here told my wife, because she's like, do you think you want to go to that? And I was like, you know I love some T-Swizzle. Absolutely not. I could not think of a worse way to spend. I told her, if you want to go get the record and you want to bring it home, I will listen to the record with you tomorrow while we like do other stuff. But I do not want to go to a Swiftie party for that.
Spotify or something.
No, she wants
an actual record.
Yeah, we're those hipsters that have records.
All right,
we have a record player. We love our record player. We use the record player regularly. I told her if you want, and Target is even selling like a pink glittery version. I'm like, if you want to go get,
if you're gonna get a version,
the record, 100%, go glittery. Get it. I'll listen to you. I am not going to a movie theater filled with Swifties to listen to this album. Not a chance in Hades.
I really think you should. I think you should live stream.
I probably could be talked into it. If you told me that it was one of the movie theaters that's like going to be serving beer and whiskey, I could be talked into it, genuinely.
All right, the last thing that's texting is John Cena.
It's not this weekend, right?
No, will tell you the next to last episode of season 2 came out. John Cena is the best wrestling actor of all time.
Did he pass Batista for this?
He's better than Batista.
Really?
He's better than all of them. This is the best acting job.
Let me ask you
the
this.
Emotion, the range. I was just like, I mean, I felt it. I was near tears with what he was doing. I can't give that part away until tomorrow night on the Upstate Pulse, where I will completely spoil it.
7 and 9.
Yes.
On our brother station,
98.9 WRD. Check it out.
Check it out. That's it for us. Y'all, enjoy the football weekend. Do not drink and drive. I will punch you in the face. Have a spectacular weekend. We'll break everything down Monday morning when the Rob Brown Show returns right here on the Fan Upstate. Later!
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.